This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد الأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise due to Allah Rabbul Alameen for His blessing, His mercy, His guidance. May the blessing and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on showering upon all of us who are here as students of knowledge. May the blessing of Allah Rabbul Alameen be upon all the prophets from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to Jesus and the last messenger of Allah to all mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah's blessing be upon their families who follow, who believe in the teaching of the prophets, the companions of the prophets, and those who follow the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the day of judgment. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us begin our day with a dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. Brothers and sisters, in the same time we like to remind the good brothers and sisters, don't forget to pray for Dr. Muhammad Al-Jibali, who is in the hospital still after his heart operation, improving, alhamdulillah. Yeah. He got a very serious operation suddenly because of the blood pressure. Suddenly he was having some pain and went to the hospital. They detained and they have to do the operation immediately. The latest news we got from the son yesterday, son-in-law, he is getting better after some slight coma. Yeah, may Allah make it easy for him. He's been a very good scholar who have been very supportive to all that we are doing here. The book that we always refer to is written by him. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Secondly, brothers and sisters, life is full of trial. Today you are healthy, tomorrow we have no idea. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ remind his ummah not to waste your time. Any time when you are healthy, you can do something for Allah. just do it. Before, you can't do it. The Prophet did remind his Ummah to use five things before the other five come to earth. The other five is life before death, young before you get old, when you have the means before you get poor, when you are healthy before you get sick, and when you have time before you be very busy. Yeah? There are times we have a lot of time to spend, to waste something. But there are times we just don't have any time, yeah, to even do what we plan to do. Brothers and sisters, in the beginning of our class every Sunday, we always try to remind all the good brothers and sisters to remember Allah by making short dua that was recommended by the Prophet ﷺ. The reason we do that is we want Allah Rabbul Alamin to make us among the people who remember Him. وَالزَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالزَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah said, those who always remember me a lot, male or female, then Allah Rabbul Alamin will give us two benefits. Number one, He forgive all our sins. Number two, He will reward us kindly. Now what is important in our life, brother and sister, when you want to make dua, when you want to ask Allah for anything, please remember, do not commit any form of shirk while making dua. The topic that we are going in also today is about dua. Why? Because Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us in chapter 39 verse 65. La in ashrakta la yahbatanna amaluk wa la takunanna minal khasirin. In this ayah, Allah make it very clear. If you join others in worship with Allah, meaning if you commit shirk in whatever thing that you are doing, all your deeds will be wiped off. Allah will erase all the good deeds that you have done, and you will certainly be among the loser at the end of the day. You thought that you will get a lot of reward, but no more. The thing that Allah hate most, all of us are aware, is shirk. To the extent that Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us in surah number 5 verse 72, innahu man yushrik billah faqad harramallahu alayhi aljannah wa ma'wahun nar wa ma lizalimina min ansar. Verily, whoever commit shirk in worship with Allah, that means you are making dua, but you are committing shirik while making dua. How? I will explain later on. Then Allah said to us, "Haram Allah alayhi al-jannah." I forbid them to enter Jannah. Wa ma'wahun nar. And if you don't enter Jannah, then Allah is going to send you to hell. Because in the day of judgment, there's only two places. Jannah will help. Then Allah remind us, for those who commit shirk with Allah, they have been very unjust to themselves. They have commit zulm to themselves. Ulaika humu zalimun. Yeah. Then Allah said, wa ma li zalimina min ansar. For those who are very unjust to themselves, no one can help them. In the day of judgment, no one can help you. You can help yourself only when you are here to make changes. That's why all the Prophet was sent to remind the people the importance to free yourself from any types of shirk. We may commit other sins, brother and sister. We all are sinners, minor or major, but make sure you do not commit shirk. When you get involved in shirk and you are not aware of it, and you still go in deeper and deeper, it's not a good sign. Unless you free yourself and stop. In one of the hadiths, Qudsi, from Allah Rabbul Alameen, directed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without going through Gabriel, Allah said, Ana akhna shuraqa. Ana akhna shuraqa. anil syirik man amila amalan asyraka ma'iyya fihi ghairi taraktuhu wa syirqah. It's a very direct reminder from Allah Rabbul Alamin. I have no need of partners. Allah the Creator, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, All-Seeing, He don't need any assistant, any partner beside Him. Whoever does any deeds, any good thing that you are doing, in which he or she associates partner with me, he is doing a good deed, but not because of me, not hoping to get my reward. He wants some other reward from somebody. Then Allah Rabbul Alamin said, I reject him. I will not accept. And then when he don't accept, he said, in the day of judgment, you will have to go to that person that you are doing for and ask him to reward you. Do you think it's fair? Is that fair? Is that just? Is that fair that if you work with me, I pay your salary? You don't come and ask salary from me, but you work for other people. No, you ask salary from that guy. That is fair. You want Allah to reward you, you come to me. You want me to answer your prayer, call upon me alone. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَا اللَّهُ إِلَهًا آخر. Never call someone beside Allah and ask for help. Yeah, we need some help from the owner of WC62F. WC62F. Because there's some movement outside. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. In chapter 72, verses 20, Allah again remind us, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. Allah is commanding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last messenger of Allah. And he said, O Muhammad, say, I invoke only my Lord alone. That means Muhammad must remind himself and his ummah, I, Muhammad, when I ask anything, I ask directly to Allah. And I associate none as partners along with him. I never go through any other parties. That's why we Muslims are very blessed. Why? Because Allah sent a man, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, the last messenger, to guide all of us. When you want to make dua, how to make dua? Allahu Akbar. Iza sta'an fasta'in billah. The Prophet said, if you ask something, if you want something from Allah, you have to ask him directly. That's why Allah said, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. We don't have to call the name of our father, the awliya, the saint, the karamat, no need. You go directly to Allah Rabbul Alamin. Because Allah do not accept any dua that have shirk. Dua with shirk means when you make dua, you still have someone beside Allah Rabbul Alamin. With the name of my sheikh, you are God. Yeah. With the name of this karamat, you are God. You say, with the name of Allah. That's why we always say, with the name of Allah. Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. With the name of Allah. Yeah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also remind us, ad-du'a huwal ibadah. Du'a actually is an act of worship, is an ibadah. And the best du'a is to pray. And that's why if people ask you, what is solah? As-solah, hiya dua. The meaning of solah lughawiyah is ad-du'a. That's why when you start to worship Allah, the first thing you recite after Allahu Akbar is what? What do you recite?
Du'a iftitah.
The opening du'a. Everything is du'a. And before you give salam, you also end with a du'a. The beginning, du'a. The ending is du'a. The adab is very important. Today, we all want the best, but in the same time, we don't follow the guidance. The sunnah of the Prophet, brother and sister, is really a blessing. Whoever want to be guided and do not want to follow the sunnah, they will not be guided. It's really a blessing that the Prophet was sent to teach us what to do, what to say, what to ask Allah, how to ask Allah. When is the best place to ask Allah? Is sujood, example. When you're making sajada, that is the best place. When is the best time? Of course, there's many hadith talk about certain time, like Friday, before sunset, that would be the best time. Where is the best place? Of course, there's also places that is very, very important. One, the best place, normally the best place is not in Malaysia, Indonesia, no. It is in Mecca, and also in the place known as Arafah. For those who have been there, alhamdulillah. For those who are not yet, it's time to plan to go. The best place to visit is this place, where the reward is unbelievable. Yeah. Number one, each time you perform one prayer in Haram, 100,000 reward. For each prayer, Allahu Akbar, the Jama'ah prayer. And then each time there is a funeral prayer, you participate, you get another special reward, the size of the Mount of Uhud. If you are there for 1 week, just example, normally people don't go to Hajj for 1 week. Yeah, maybe half, yeah, maybe half a month, maybe 1 month, 1 day, 5 Uhud. 5 Uhud you collect. Yeah. I don't know how can you bring it back. You know, it's too heavy. Nobody want to bring a Uhud back to their country, but Allah Almighty have recorded your deeds. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. If only we can see the reward, I don't think we want to get out from this country. No. We just love to be there, inshallah. You can sit here. Now, like what I said just now, if we follow the sunnah, don't underestimate sunnah. It's a great ni'mah, it's a great blessing. Because sunnah is here to guide us from A to Z. Yeah. Sunnah is here to teach us how to get closer to Allah, how to purify yourself, how to be a better Muslim, how to be a better son, a better father, a better husband, a better and better, all is better, better, better. There is a sunnah. No one follow the sunnah and become worse, unless they got the wrong sunnah. No one who follows the sunnah will be judgmental to each other. No, because the sunnah never taught us to be judgmental. Sunnah always teach us to be kind, loving, sharing, patient, everything. That is good, that is sunnah. So we can ask ourselves and check whether we are following the sunnah or not. If we say we are following the sunnah, we should be kind, we should be helpful, we should share, and we should always pray for each other. Because nobody is perfect, and the Prophet has informed us. He showed us his mercy. He never just come and judge anybody. Even people came to him and asked him for judgment. Asked him to judge them, to punish them. He said, go home. Can you imagine? These are sinners who came to the Prophet and asked the Prophet for judgment. He said, go home. He can just pass judgment immediately now. Allahu Akbar. We love to judge people. We feel good. We feel happy when we punish somebody. Do we feel like that sometimes? Yeah, we feel good. But that is not good. Spiritually, it's not good. That's why the Prophet said, Irham man fir ar yarhamkum man fis sama. Look at the beauty saying of the Prophet, the Sunnah. You want the one and the heaven to shower his mercy, then you show mercy. There was a movie, but it's not a Islamic movie. And the hero is not, of course, the Sahaba. It's Mel Gibson. He's a nice man. Maybe Allah give him hidayah one day. We don't know. He act in the movie. You know, it's about Scotland. At the end, what did he say? You all remember? Freedom, and that was so with mercy. So. You have to free yourself from all the negative things. You got to put yourself and trust that God is there to help you. Yes, when you are back to Allah, you are free. You're free from fear, you're free from all this nonsense. But you must have a good ending. But of course, he is not our reference. He is not a sunnah. Yeah? I just give you some example. Sometimes other people also are following without they realize. No? Without they realize, they are also following. A lot of people who are following the sunnah without they realize that they are following. Because they don't believe in Prophet Muhammad. If only they believe Allahu Akbar. Look at the Japanese people. They are very honest, sincere, clean, disciplined. This is all the sunnah. It's a sunnah. Now let us go back to our book. The book that we are referring to is about knowing the prophets and the messenger of Allah Rabbul Alameen. For those who are new, if you don't have this book, you can just purchase it after the class, inshallah. Yeah. And according to my record, I hope that my record is the same than all of you. Yeah? You will be page 46 today. Yeah? Earlier, we remind a lot of our student of knowledge, our students, our jama'ah, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never gave up hope in doing what he was commanded by Allah, and he always made dua. He always made dua. He know that he cannot change the heart of anybody. The one who can change and give guidance is Allah. So he always make dua to Allah Rabbul Alamin. And the last ayah that I share with you before this title that we are coming in, Allah gave them victory in this life. Allah said, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ أَنَ الْحَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَى. A prophet is a man who does not speak out of desire. I feel, I think. Whatever he say is a revelation revealed to him. So that's why when you follow the sunnah, you are guided, you are blessed. It's a blessing. It's a great ni'mah. That's why we know how to do dua, how to pray, how to do this, how to receive a newborn child, all how to arrange a funeral. All this because of the sunnah. If not, we do not know what will happen to all of us. Everybody to follow their own ways. My way, my style. But because the sunnah is there, everybody is following. Look at what happened in the Middle East. Their leaders, Amir, maybe king, when they die, they follow the sunnah. They follow the sunnah, the way they are buried. The coffin is the same like anyone. Allahu Akbar. They don't have special coffin for VIP. Because you're going down to the same place. And see how they decorate their grave. Very simple. Because that is the sunnah. So when you follow the sunnah, you feel blessed because you have nothing to worry. Because anybody who die following the sunnah, inshallah, he will receive the shafa'ah from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like what the Prophet said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah." All my ummah will enter paradise. Who are those who will enter paradise? Illa man aba, except those who refuse to go to Jannah. Manatani, whoever follow, obey my sunnah, you go to paradise. So simple. You don't have to follow so many people. Just one man. And that man, Allah promised him that whoever follow you, he gain my love. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. You follow one man, the man that I command you to follow, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi sunnah, I will love you. It's so easy to gain the love of Allah Rabbul Alameen. When you want to gain the love of your lover, normally what you do? Normally what you do? If you love a lady, you want to win her love, what you do? The man must know. This answer comes from the man. The same goes to the woman. If you want to gain the love from the man, what will you do? You always make him sad? Make him angry? No. You must make him happy. When you always make him happy, then you will get the reward. The same goes to the man. You make the other party happy, then you don't have to worry. But we have a lot of problem. We only want, I must be happy. Me first. You know, you take a lot of Maggie, me will destroy you. The me is very dangerous. It's better to say we, together, alhamdulillah. Now, Allah gave them victory in this life. For those who believe in Allah, have faith in Him, try their best to do what Allah wants you to do, Allah promised you, He will give you success, victory. Allah supported His prophets and gave them victory over their enemies. A lot of people don't like Muhammad in the beginning of Muhammad. People hate him not because of his name, because of his mission. People don't hate Muhammad as Muhammad. People hate him because of his mission. He was sent by Allah to bring changes, and people don't want to change. We all are the same. We are so used with our style, we don't want to change. But our Prophet was sent by Allah to make changes, to bring changes from darkness to light, from ignorance to ill knowledge. From the become a blind follower, become a person who do things with knowledge and understanding. From hatred to love, from negative to positive, from destructive to constructive. That is the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You remember the shortest ayah in the Quran, brothers and sisters? The shortest surah in the Quran is what? What is the name of the shortest surah in the Quran? Al-Kawthar. I believe all of us memorize this surah. Yeah. And the second shortest is which ayah, surah? Al-Ikhlas. 3 and 4. Alhamdulillah. Al-Kawthar, Allah is telling, Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. Allah is telling us about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that He, Allah, have indeed gave Prophet Muhammad a lot of goodness. And also Kawthar mean there will be a pond known as Al-Kawthar, where the water will flow from Jannat al-Firdaus, and that water, well, we will drink it only for the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other ummah cannot drink, only for Prophet Muhammad. Inna aqtaynaka al-kawthar. And in return, Allah said, fasalli rabbi kawanhar. Inna shani akahu al-abtar. The people who envy you, your enemy, people who hate you, they will perish. The more they attack Muhammad, the more people love Muhammad. And sometimes miracle happened. The one who abused Muhammad, he became a Muslim. Omar was not happy with Muhammad. He wanted to kill Muhammad. But Allah made him a hidayah. Because the Prophet always keep on praying. He never gave up. We can find many examples of this in the Quran. Allah gave victory to Nuh and drowned his disbelieving people, those who go against Nuh. How can you fight against your enemy? Sometimes you just don't have the time, you don't have the ability, the strength to fight. But who will destroy them? Allah. You must have faith in Allah. You must be connected to Allah. You must remember that at the end of the day is Allah who decides everything, and Allah promised this ummah, in tansurullah yansurukum wa yusabbit aqdamakum. Whoever help to uphold the truth, Islam, then Allah will help you. And that's why all the Prophet was here to uphold the truth, aqidah, the tawheed, then Allah give them victory. What is Musa with Pharaoh? Musa have nothing. Pharaoh, he is the king. He have all the army with him. But who destroy him? Pharaoh? Allah. Allah gave Abraham victory over his people who wanted to burn him. He gave victory to Musa over Pharaoh, and so on. And Allah said, وَلَقَدْ قُزِّبَتْ رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا قُزِّبُوا مَا قُزِّبُوا وَعُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. In Surah Al-An'am, verses 34, Allah said, surely, surely, it's true. Sure to come. Many messengers before you were rejected by their people. Now, if we are rejected by the people, is that common? Sometimes we choose to follow the truth. We were rejected by our family who don't understand. Do you feel bad? As a human, yes. Do you give up? No. At the end of the day, who will change them? It's not you, it's not me, Allah. Never give up. For those who really have bad intention, Allah will handle them. But for those who are confused, they do not know what is right and wrong, they just follow some group of people who is misleading them, or follow their desire, the Satan is misleading them. But deep in their heart, they are not bad. Allah will guide them. You just have to connect yourself with God. Because when talking about the hearts, no one control except Allah. And that's why the Prophet remind us and make dua, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qulubana ala Dini wa ala Ta'atik. Always ask Allah, Oh Allah, the one who control the hearts, make our heart steadfast. Because our heart keep on changing. Do you feel that? Do you feel that your feeling always changes? When you come to the class, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. After the class, Auzubillah, Auzubillah, Auzubillah. The battery start to go weaker and weaker. And Sunday you come only once. If you charge your battery, I don't think it can last for 1 week. All the phone that we are using, when you charge, I think 24 hours down. You don't charge, no communication. The same go to this. Alhamdulillah, now your heart is being motivated, charged. Yeah, alhamdulillah. That after that is going weaker and weaker. You have to recharge. So we ask Allah for that. So Allah is telling us, many messengers, these are prophet and messenger, Rusul, not you and me. These are people that Allah choose, and their people reject them. But they remain patient over the rejection. They keep on praying, may Allah give guidance to their qawm, may Allah give guidance to their people. You see how patient this prophet. There are times the prophet just can say, Oh Allah, destroy them. Allah will destroy. But Allah show his mercy to the extent when come to Prophet Muhammad sallam, he said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ غَلِيزَ فِي الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَتُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It is the mercy of Allah that He put this feeling into the heart of the Prophet, that they have extra mercy and patience. People abuse them, criticize them, throw stone at them. They respond with dua. Not dua to destroy them, for guidance. Allahu Akbar. So important to follow the sunnah, you have a lot of peace. I don't think every one of us can handle your problem by yourself. By yourself, I don't think you can solve your problem. You need Allah's help, and you need to follow the sunnah, and inshallah, with a good environment, you can solve your problem. So, what Allah is telling us, they have patience, Allahu Akbar, sabar. And they will harm until our victory came to them. See, the Prophet can just ask Allah and destroy the enemy, and they just carry on with what they want to do. Nobody will cause harm to them. No, to the extent that their patience was so great that people now harm them. People come after them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that people want to terminate his life. Khalas, let us end this guy. Don't let him live anymore. Close the case. Then only Allah said to him, move, migrate, hijrah. He have to migrate. This is the greatest man on earth. The last messenger of Allah, the most beloved to Allah. He was chased away from his homeland. He was born in Mecca. People don't like him anymore. Not because he's doing bad things, he's doing all the good things. He's calling people to be kind, to be caring, to respect the elders, love your neighbor, love your guest. They reject him. If he is a bad guy for you to reject him, fair enough. Good guy was rejected. But he never gave up. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful the sunnah. At the end of the day, alhamdulillah, when the people have decided to kill him, that is the time, that is the only time Allah said, time for you to move out. He migrate. He do not run away. Migration means, brother and sister, it's not just physical migration. Of course, the Prophet had done that. The Prophet did say in one hadith, Al-mu'min man ammana an-nas ala amwalihim wa anfusihim. A believer is a person who brings peace to others, that people can trust you with their life and their money. No problem. You can be poor, but because you are a believer and you are trustworthy, people who are rich can come and say, take care of my property. Because you are a true believer. A believer is a man and woman who have amana. La iman liman la amana talahu. No iman for people who have no amana. Wal muhajir man hajra min al khataya wa zunub. A muhajir, a person who make hijrah, is a person who migrate from negative to positive, from batil to haq, from shirk to tawheed, from kufr to iman, from bid'ah to sunnah, and so on. The migration is for a betterment of oneself, not economic migration. A lot of people migrating today for what? Dunya. Better money there, better job. Okay, no problem. You also can do that migration. It's not haram. I don't say it's haram. But the Prophet said, whoever migrate because of dunya, you will get dunya. Everything back to your intention. Innamal a'malu binniyat. One, the first hadith in Sahih Bukhari talk about our intention. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. Whoever migrate because of Allah and for the sunnah, they will get the blessing of Allah, they will get the shafa'at from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. Your migration is for dunya, you will get your dunya. You have your right. Because that is your intention. Allahu Akbar. But we can improve. Our intention can change. In the beginning, because of this, later on, you can improve. No problem. Example, your intention to come to class is just to socialize, to get to know few brothers. No problem. Come. Don't stay away. Later on, you improve your intention. I think it's time for me to be more sincere to myself. By just looking for new friend, I want to improve myself to become a better Muslim. I want to follow the wahyu, not the nafsu, and I want to follow the sunnah. Then, alhamdulillah, from then, whatever you do here, you get reward from Allah. Because your intention now has changed. From dunya, now to Allah and the Prophet. And when you have that intention, brother and sister, you can see the changes in you very fast. Very fast. Because whatever you learn will help you, will benefit you. Because your intention is to change. But if you are just here, while you are here, nowhere to go, lepak lah. Then you got lepak here. Lah. That's what you will get. But when your intention is far along, you will see the changes in you very, very fast. And remember, And Allah also said, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ وَإِنَّا جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. In Surah Saf, verses 1:7-1:73, Allah again remind us. Surely Allah is making it very clear. Is sure to happen. It have happened before and is going to happen again. Our word has already been given to our servants, the messengers. You see how Allah addressed His messenger, His prophet. On and off, He will also remind that they are the servant of Allah. They are ibadina. God never once said that my prophet, my messengers is my son. He never used that term. And when people start to claim that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus said, no, I'm the son of Mary. I am just a servant and the messenger of Allah. None, no prophet dare to say that I am the son of God. No. Who put that word son? Not from the prophet. This is where the shaitan come in. All the messenger and the prophet will always remind themselves who they are. Even our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best, and Allah remind him, say to your people, tell your people, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I am a human like all of you. Allah said, He is a human. He is no angel. Like you, mislukum. The only difference, I receive revelation from Allah. And I will speak what Allah wants me to speak. That's all. Where we don't receive revelation. He got wahyu, we got nafsu. When we speak, we use no filter. Our prophet has been filtered, been purified. Every word he used is wahyu. There is the difference. Indeed, then Allah said, they will be the winners. Allah promised us, innahum lahumul mansurun. They will be a leader because, and they will be the winners. And Allah said, wa inna jundana lahumul ghalibun. Because Allah from time to time will send soldiers, will be the victorious. Allah will send His own army. You see how Allah destroyed the elephants, forces that came with Abraham. They know who dare to fight with this kind of forces. The biggest weapon they have at that time on planet Earth is elephant. Alexander the Great was going to conquer all this country. When he come to an area where they face elephant, they say, no more, I can't. He dare not even attack Afghan. He dare not to try India. He failed. Because you are facing, you come with horses, he will come with elephant. What happened in the time of Abraham? He came with the biggest forces that they have. Elephant. Al-Fil. How did Allah destroy them? Allah don't send elephant. Allah show you His power. He sent a small bird. You think that you are so big that you can do anything. I just send birds. And my bird will come with a small stone. And they just fly over. Boom. Class. All the elephant was destroyed. You see how it goes? Very easy. For Allah, there's no problem. When Allah sent His army, Khalas. In so many battlefields in the time of the Prophet, Allah sent angels to help the Muslim. You thought that you are the one who attacked them. No, it's the angel who have destroyed them. But you must have that faith. This is the unseen force. Allahu Akbar. Nimrud. Do you know Nimrud? One of the Nimrud. There are many Nimruds. There's one Nimrod was so powerful. He said that I'm also God, like Pharaoh. To the extent he asked the people who claimed to be a messenger, tell me what your Lord can do, can give us in return. Oh, our God will give you paradise. What is paradise? How do paradise look like? Paradise have these river flowing, trees, and he make paradise. Oh, this is how paradise look like. I can show you, I also can make this paradise. So I am the God. You can do anything you want. But what happened to one of the Nimrod? Before he died, when the thing is completed, it's time for him to go to officiate the opening. The angel of death was waiting for him. He don't even have the chance to even step in his own garden. He thought that he was so great, he can't even taste his own paradise. And there's one other story, talk about another Nimrod. So arrogant, you know how Allah destroyed him? Allah destroyed him by sending a mosquito. Just one mosquito. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَيَّدْرَبُ مَثَلًا مَبْعُودَةً مِنْ فَوْقِهَا. Allah is not ashamed to create an insect like mosquito. You remember our country also suffered because of mosquito? Last time we have what disease that mosquito normally will carry? Malaria. Now malaria have no anymore. Now they move to what? Dengue. Add this. Mosquitoes who migrate. Upgraded. Yeah, from malaria to another. And now the latest one is what? Zika. Where do you get this name? Suddenly they have been upgraded. They were given a title. The Zika mosquito. After this, we don't know what is going to come. The Rocky mosquito. Maybe. Name we give. This small mosquito. Allah said, I'm not ashamed to create a small insect like mosquito. Because the disbeliever said, what kind of God is this? Why must he create this small, small thing? This small insect destroyed Nimrod. How? You know when you want to sleep, what is the thing that irritates you most? How do he irritate you? And the helicopter. No. He really get make you upset. No. So this mosquito, Allah created him. He have silencer. When he fly, you cannot hear him. And he enter the ear. He go into the ear of this arrogant leader. So arrogant. Because he have the power, he have all the army around him to protect him. Allah said, one small mosquito. Like, you know, the latest weapon, they fly, no radar can detect. Silent, poop, he arrived. Allah sent his one. Enter the ear and stay inside. Allah just said, you stay there for some time. Rest for a while. Now, can you imagine mosquito enter here? When you are naughty, he just give one injection. Each time you get naughty, what is going to happen? You can feel the itchiness. But it's not outside. Inside. Normally when you feel itchy inside here, what you do? You try to dig. If you can, if the mosquito you slept, khalas, alhamdulillah. And you still cannot destroy that small animal, the insect. To the extent now he hit harder and he break his own head and he died. You see how Allah's power, don't underestimate even an insect like mosquito. Don't be arrogant. If Allah want to humiliate you, brother and sister, this is how he do. You are so powerful, but Allah destroy you with a very little fly. He don't have to send an eagle like the Lord of the Ring to come and eat you and carry you. He sent a fly. But still human never learn. And that's why Allah Rabbul Alameen want us to think and reflect. Allah will give them victory in the hereafter. Not only Allah help the Prophet here, He also help them in the hereafter. So by understand this, then if whoever try to follow the Sunnah, you will get the same helps from Allah. Allah don't help them just because of a man, because they were here for a mission and they are carrying out their mission, and that's why Allah helped them. The prophets are the most obedient people to Allah. Because of this, they will be most victorious on the day of judgment. And Allah said, "Inna lanansuru rusulana wallazina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad." Allah said, indeed we will give victory to our messengers and the believers. Alhamdulillah, that we also have the right to this victory. Because Allah said not only to the messenger and the believers, those who follow their sunnah. During their worldly life here and on the day when the witnesses will stand. In the day of judgment, we have a lot of witnesses. People will be a witness towards us. Do we convey the message of Allah to them? We will be called by Allah. So that's why da'wah is very important. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, was a day for a long time. You know, we do not organize reunion day for the younger generation. Our youths, who was with us for more than 5, 7, some of the 10 years, very active, helping us in whatever activities that we are doing here. Yesterday was the day that the youth start to reorganize their reunion. That's why you see some 10 over here was, the happening was yesterday. Calling back, because the youth, majority of they are all bachelors. They are not married. Alhamdulillah, they were here together with us, with another sister's groups, and alhamdulillah Allah joined them and become husband and wife, and they have children now. The children are growing, so it's time for a reunion. It was heavy rain yesterday, but alhamdulillah, we have more than 100 over of the youths and their children. The children were so happy that they don't want to go home. The parents said, time to go home. No. Keep on running inside here. Alhamdulillah, this is the environment we want to build for our children. We are getting older. Our Prophet was sent not only for you and me, to make sure that whatever you know, you pass down. That's why Allah Rabbul Alameen talk about the Sabiqun, the earlier ummah. And then the Prophet also said, "Khairun nas qarni thumma allazina yalunahum thumma allazina yalunahum." This is a beautiful saying and reminder from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best people are the people who live in my time, who follow my sunnah. Then the second generation who follow the sunnah. Then the third generation who follow the sunnah. And that's why in the Islamic terminology, brother and sister, you will be exposed to this term. Sahaba, number one. Companions of the Prophet. You call them Sahaba. After Sahaba, what do you call them? After Sahaba, Tabi'in. After Tabi'in, Tabi'in. They have this title. Sahaba are the first group of Muslims who live in the time of the Prophet, who learn from the Prophet directly. They are the one that is most blessed. To the extent Allah called them radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was so pleased with them because they please Allah. Anything Allah want them to do, sami'na wa ata'na. Infiru qifafan wa thiqala. They are always ready. Good time, bad time, raining day, sunny day. They never excuse themselves. This is the Sahaba. Anytime you call them, we are ready. It's like they are ready to die at any time. So they are ready to serve Allah. They are ready to be with the Prophet. Anytime the Prophet call them, they are ready. Allahu Akbar. That is the Sahaba. Then Tabi'in. Tabi'in is another generation that come after the Sahaba who never met the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But they met some of the Sahaba. And that is, you call the word Tabi'in. Tabi. Tabi means those who carry on, yeah, the lineage. Those who follow what have been left behind. Not those who come and create a new thing. No. Tabi are those who carry on, who inherit what the Sahaba have done. They carry on. They don't come up with the new thing. No. They just follow suit. They become good followers. That is the chains of narration. The chain is not disconnected. You cannot call yourself Tabi'in without following Sahaba. You cannot name yourself as Sahaba without following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And you have no right to claim I am the Tabi' Tabi'in without following Tabi'in. This is the adab of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are always linked directly to the Prophet, companion, Tabi'in, Tabi'. They never cut off that link. If somebody will come, I'm the new founder, this is mine, that means you are cut off from this silsilah. So don't disconnect yourself with the pioneers, with the seniors, with those who are earlier than you. If they still survive, keep them, yeah, close to you and be connected to them. It's very important. It's just like when people start, we start Al-Khadim from the 80s. We have the children, now the children's children is with us, the children's children's children is with us. The connection. That is very important. And we want to move on so that our future generation will also continue. And they will ask, who is your group? Who is your teacher? Ling. MashaAllah. Their history. You cannot say, no, I'm the founder. I'm the new guy. When you disconnect yourself, you are disconnecting from the Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Don't think you are better than the earlier people. No. Don't think we are better. Being cannot say they are better than Sahaba. The Tabi' Tabi'in never once claimed they are better than Tabi'in. Because there is the adab. Those who come first, you honor them, respect them, value them. But now children are different. or I'm better than my father. You only understand whether you're better or not when you become a father. Sometimes when you want to discipline, when our parents discipline us, we say, oh, my parent is so hard on me. Yeah. So particular, so straight. Yeah. We are not happy. We think, if my parent are good parent, if they just let us do what we want, then the parent will destroy you. And then now, you don't like your parent, become so fussy, so particular, so disciplined, you don't like them. Now you become father. And now you want also your children to be disciplined. And you start to be straight on them. And they will hate you. I don't like father. Mostly they like father more than mother. And don't like mother. Mother always say, no, 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 no. Father always green light. Father always, they say, they green the environment. Everything, no problem. Father, a good corrupter. Mother, a very straight. We don't like the mother. One day you become mother, when Allah gives you children, then you'll start to learn. But when you reach the age of 40, 50, like your mother, now you realize how loving your parent is. How caring your parent is. They love you so much, they remind you, keep on reminding, they never give up. They keep on, even you go against them, they still keep on reminding you. Then you realize, like what you are doing to your children. You only realize when you open your heart and your mind. But by following the sunnah, you will know from the beginning. Allahu Akbar. If your father or mother is guiding you to follow the sunnah, you should be so happy, feel been blessed. I have a guidance in my life. I know what to do, how to do. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy, brothers and sisters. We give victory to our messengers and the believers during the worldly life. Alhamdulillah, you are guided here and on the day when the witnesses will stand and in the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. On judgment day, Allah Rabbul Alameen will give all of His Prophet great merits and favor. In addition, special merit will be given to specific Prophet. For other Prophet, they will go and look for their group of people. But Prophet Muhammad will be given a special intercession that he will look for everyone. Because he was sent for Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And that's why we must have this spirit that we are for everybody. We must share with everybody. Don't only pick Muslim and talk to them about Islam. You must share the Islamic spirit with everyone that you know, your close friend, because they may enter Islam through you. And you will be rewarded. If you keep on hiding, you thought Islam is exclusive for you, you are wrong. Yeah. Islam don't belong to us, belong to Allah. Our duty is to convey the message. Adam alayhi salam is the forefather of all of us. We all descend from him. Because of this, he will be the first person that Allah will call on the day of judgment. Abu Hurairah reported that the Prophet said, "Awwalu man yud'a yawm al-qiyamah Adam." Adam will be the first person to be called on the judgment day. Allah is fair, you are the first, you will be called first. After resurrection in the next life, all people will be brought together for the judgment day at the time. They will be all naked like the day they were born. Nobody was born with a pampers, napkin. No. You're born with beautiful feature, same, black, white, the son of the prime minister, the son of the king, the son of the whoever you're born the same. Nothing. You came with nothing. Allahu Akbar. And then Allah will start to cover your aura, clothe you. And the one that Allah covered first is Abraham alayhi salam. Aisha reported that the Prophet said, meaning Ibrahim would be the first of all people to be clothed, because there was something happened to him. When Ibrahim was going to throw into the fire, they naked him and threw him in the fire. But Allah, the most powerful, who created everything, He command the fire. Now, fire belong to who? Belong to Allah. He command the fire. Oh, fire, stay cool. Where the people outside the fire feel the heat, Abraham was like in an aircon room. Allahu Akbar. And the temperature is just beautiful. Not too cold. He is naked there. They want to barbecue him. Can you imagine how bad the people is? They don't care. But Abraham never once said, okay, I've asked forgiveness. I'm going to repent. I will join you. No. What is right. Even you have to cut me into pieces, I'm ready to die for the truth. But we are ready to die for falsehood and keep on lying. Na'unz billah. Brothers and sisters, I have no intention to continue. You will continue the other part in the coming class. You know? But what I'd like to end today is we have few announcements. And then we will have Q&A. Number one, inshallah, we have also groups of our sisters who are very active, you know, with our youths. You know? And there is a collaboration between Super Thinkers and Al-Qadim Youth. They are going to organize college competition. This is competition. Yeah. You will get some of this flyer outside. But important, Aisha is in charge on that. Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha, you raise up your hand. Good. Yeah. Now, the only difference, this one is divided into three groups. The first group is for the age 4 to 5 years old, not for any one of us. The second one is 6 to 7 years old. The third one, 8 to 10 years old. It will come in this form. The only thing that these are some of the projects done by the sisters who have a good plan to help the children to grow in a better environment. And alhamdulillah, they got prizes here, for those who win in the competition. How to do it, you will get the information through the flyers. Only this envelope each will cost you 35 ringgit. In return, they got these prizes. Bicycle for first prize, alhamdulillah. Building set for the children, and construction toy set. It's a very good activities to make the children participate in some of the very important activities to make them think also. But you must remember, brothers and sisters, you only guide them, prepare something for them, and let them do by themselves. Yeah. Allah will be the witness, because it can be done at home. So if you lie, then Allah be the witness. You must have that trust. You prepare things and then leave it to the children. You can guide them a bit, the rest you leave it to them. Whatever they do, don't think that it's not beautiful. It can be the most beautiful thing that you don't realize. Yeah? So, let them do. Everything is here. It just costs you 35 ringgit each. For those who who don't have children, you also can sponsor. Let us know, then we will get the children. Yeah. For those who have grandchildren, that is the best thing for you to do. Yeah. But please remember, you don't give them 100% helping hand. 10%, no problem. 10%, okay. Yeah. This is also to help. Yeah. To help Super Thinker to move forward to plan more activities for children. Yeah. So it comes like envelopes like this. So you can get it from Aisha, inshallah. Like I said, brother and sister, if you don't have any children around that age group, then you can even sponsor. We will help you, inshallah. Yeah. These are things that we are trying to create, and also we want our youths to be very active soon, inshallah. Very soon. Every Sunday you may experience new things. A lot of the young brothers or sisters who are coming up with their own little thing that they are doing, they are going to open this Sunday market here. Yeah. Only for our youths. Because we want to encourage our youths to be together, to grow together. So they will come, they will open a small table, whatever product they are doing, they are going to sell it. You can help them by supporting whatever the youth is trying to do. Yeah. We do not want our youth to stray away. Yeah. So once they are with us, we try to give them the motivation, encouragement, so they will grow with us, and the children also will grow with us, inshallah. So we become great-great-grandfather, inshallah, soon. And everybody will get datukship from here, inshallah. Yeah. Datukship means grandfather. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So may Allah bless us, Francis. If there's any question, we open for Q&A. Fatafadda. Any question from the sisters first? No question from the sister. Do they all want the mic? Somebody send the mic back to the sister.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I want to ask about when someone's going to perform umrah, and then the people will say, doakan untuk saya, doakan untuk saya. Even when someone is sitting for an exam and ask other people to doakan untuk saya, is that okay, or how is it?
Yes, Islamically, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet, we can ask somebody to make dua for us, no problem. Yeah, you can. As long as the person is still alive and you know he's a good person. Especially those who are traveling. Because the Prophet did say that the dua of the musafir is powerful. Those who travel, the dua also is very, very powerful. Yeah? You can, no problem. The only dua that is forbidden, you go to the grave and ask, so-called, he's a good man who passed away, maybe your guru, your sifu, you know, and then you say, please, you know, help me. No, that one you can't. When they die, they need our dua, not we ask them for dua. They need our dua. For those who are still living, yes, you can do that. Yeah? No problem. Please, sister, next behind you.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam.
Can I know what's the meaning of middle path? Is it permissible for us to be too extreme in, like, say, too kind, too generous, too merciful? I mean, how to draw the line? I mean, to be at the middle path.
The middle path, according to our belief, Quran and Sunnah, is to follow the Quran and Sunnah. That is the middle path. The Quran and Sunnah is not going to teach you to go extreme. No, it's always wasat, the middle path. But if somebody want to be more generous, of course, the middle path encourage you to do that, to give more and more. There's nothing wrong. But somebody, oh, that is too extreme. No. That's what the middle path is. But you cannot do so too much to the extent you forget yourself, and that is not fair to you. You must be kind to others, but don't forget to be kind to your family. Example. You cannot too overwhelming helping others, you forget the people who are so close to you. The middle path means balance. Don't forget, you have right upon you. Other people, the poor, the needy have right upon you. Your neighbor have right upon you. But you also have right upon you. So, I would say, the middle path means you follow the Quran and Sunnah. And Allah did mention, yeah, tilka hududullah, there is a limit for everything. And don't pass the limit. Don't overdo. Overdo cause imbalance, also is not good. Yeah? You understand that, yeah? Yeah. So middle part is not said, hey, I pray 5 times a day. Middle, 3 times a day. No. 5 times a day you pray. You know. Oh, you fast 1 month, extreme. Half a month, middle. No. You have to do what Allah wants you to do. But when you follow Quran Sunnah, you see well balanced. That's why the Prophet always show us he's got time for himself, he got time for his family, he got time for his ummah. If you just ummah, you forget about your family, that is not balanced. Yeah? Everything have right. Wali nafsika alayhaq, yourself have right upon you. That is the understanding of Ahli Sunnah wal Jamaah. Well balanced. Yeah? Naam. Next question from the sister. Third one. Now, pass it to the sister behind, please. Alhamdulillah. Help the sister, inshallah. This will be the last from the sister's side, inshallah, today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I just want to ask you that, can we make dua to Allah through our good deeds? I mean, any good deed that we have done, can we ask Allah through our good deeds?
Meaning, can we ask Allah something through our good deeds?
Yeah, like...
Yes. One of the way, the adab of asking Allah, that you do all the good thing first, and then you say, oh Allah, if what I've done is good, that you accept, through mis good deeds, may you answer my prayer, respond to my prayer. You remember the tree guy was trapped, yeah, in the cave. The history of what the Prophet said, three men was raining, they were traveling, then rain, then they went into the cave and they want to take shelter for a while. Suddenly Allah's Qadar, a rock from the top fall and closed, stopped them from coming out. Closed the gate or the door of the cave. Now they are trapped. Nobody know that they are inside. Nobody can help them. So at last, they start to make dua, one by one. The first one pray, oh Allah, I've done so and so before. If what I've done is a good deed, please through this good deed, open. Yeah? Move the rock for us. But it so happened, his deed is not powerful enough. He have some good deed, but it's not big enough. It move a bit, but they still can't come out. But it's moving, it's responding. Then the second one also make the same good dua. Also not powerful enough. It move a bit, but they still cannot get out. Then the last one make dua the same. Alhamdulillah. The combination, mashallah, this hadith is beautiful. It's collectively, if we all do good deeds together, they have more blessing. Yes, you can do that, sister, inshallah. Last question from the brothers. Any question from the brothers? None, alhamdulillah. I'm not going to be sad today if there's no question. Sometimes make me more relaxed, alhamdulillah. Yeah. But what is important, brothers and sisters, please, when you are given the opportunity to do anything good that can benefit Islam for the sake of Allah, don't delay. But collectively is highly recommended, jama'ah. When jama'ah, there's a leader, whatever you plan to do good, double check with the leader to see how we do it together. So there will be more blessing. Because if not, then we are not putting ourselves into this term Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahli Sunnah was reminded by the Prophet to do things Jama'ah, Jama'ah Rahmah. Collectively you do things, there's a lot of blessing. If everybody wants to do things by themselves, don't entertain. Don't entertain, because they are splitting. They are splitting, they are dividing. We have no time to divide ourselves. We have been so divided already. And this division is not from laymen, always come from learned people. Don't allow yourself to be divided. Yeah. We have Jama'ah, everything, we follow the system, there will be a lot of blessings. Yeah. So that's all I can say. One more, yeah. From
Assalamualaikum
the system. Assalamualaikum.
The other day you were mentioning about a reply to somebody's question about Salat and Qada.
Salat and Qada.
Maybe you could refresh and repeat one more round for us, for some sisters who still have questions.
I think if I'm not wrong, sometimes we come across people saying, when you are flying, so the prayer time comes in. So they say, because you have to honor the time of the prayer, you pray, but that prayer is not valid. You still pray, but it's not valid. Until you landed, on land, then you start to pray back. The same prayer that you have prayed. No? They say, we qada. You don't have that kind of prayer in Islam. You must remember the time of prayer is in, you should try your best to establish the prayer. If you can't stand, then you can pray while sitting. If you are bedridden, then you pray while lying down, but you don't miss your prayer. Because Allah allowed you, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah said, whoever established the prayer by standing, of course, those who can, those who can't sit down, those who can't lie down, but your prayer is valid. Now, people was asking about, okay, that was flight. How about driving today? I'm driving, caught traffic jam, raining. I cannot move. Big accident. I cannot stop. It may start to move, then where's the driver? Can I pray while driving? You can't. Unless you have a driver. You cannot drive and pray. Then people horn you. Okay, move again. You can't do that. But then, if you are stuck in a situation that is not normal, you can't do anything. So you just continue your journey. When you reach your destination, whatever time you are in, even Asar time and before Maghrib, now is Isha time. The jam was so bad, you reach home Isha time. You pray your Asar like normal. For even literally people say they are performing the prayer outside their time, that means it's Qada. Literally people say it's Qada. But Islamically, no. You are praying Asar. Because that is the only time you can pray your Asar. Then you make Iqama, you make Maghrib. Then you make Iqama, you make Isha. That's how it goes. It's not like purposely, I don't want to pray now, and then the prayer time have gone, now is Maghrib time, now I make Qada. No. That one, you commit a sin when you don't do it, the prayer, at his time, then you commit a sin. But if you are caught in a situation that do not allow you to even stop for a while to pray, then when the condition change, then immediately you pray. All your prayer is considered ada'an, cash, not credit. because there's no credit in prayer. Allah want cash. Allah said, "Inna salataka kanat alal mu'minina kitaban mawquta." The prayer time is fixed by Allah, yeah, and no one can change it. But those who overslept, like today is Sunday, Saturday night, always people have a lot of fever, you know, because they don't sleep early, you know. So then they call Saturday night fever. Yeah, who used this term? John Travolta. Yeah. Well, how can Ustaz know? Yeah, it's the world, no? Yeah, Ustaz also look into everything, you know. So, but it's not a sunnah, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Just remember, yeah, that Saturday you want to sleep early, very difficult. Then you want to wake up Sunday, so happen you wake up at 8 a.m. Yeah, immediately you pray. Because for those who overslept, their time is when they wake up. For those who forgot, the time when they remember. For those who go unconscious, when they are conscious, they pray. And the prayer is called Kash Adan. Yeah? We are clear about that? Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us, brothers and sisters. Please don't forget, yeah, this program, because it's going, the date. There is a reminder, yeah. 11 March, they start, and then it will close. Close at 11 March. There's an info over there. You can just read by yourself. Yeah. Welcome to support all these activities, inshallah. And may Allah help those who always help the younger generation. Wabillahi taufiqi wa akhri da'wana walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته different age group alhamdulillah yeah.